This podcast is brought to you in part by ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Whether you're buying or selling a home, condo, or any type of property, trust Amanda to help match you with up to three top agents in your area. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Hey, rock stars. From Washington, D.C., this is the Rock on the Money podcast, episode 81. Time to talk about saving, investing, and protecting all those hard-earned monies. We're here to coach you along your path to retirement and financial independence. I'm Craig, your Dave Ramsey Master Financial Coach, along with Amanda, a corporate in-house lawyer and real estate referral agent, and we're very grateful you've joined us. Call us right now with your questions, comments, 989-888-ROCK. Check us out on Facebook at Rock on the Money or the website at rockonthemoney.com. Hi.
Hi.
What's up?
You know what?
But
why doesn't anyone ever call us?
Actually, somebody just did.
Oh.
I know. I haven't listened, but someone just left us a voicemail, but I think it has a whole story. Because then sent me an instant message afterwards, backing up. I'm like, I think I was hesitant about listening to the whole thing. I'm like, ugh. It's like a warning of the voicemail.
Oh, okay. So, well, anyway, I'm starting to feel a little neglected with no one calling us.
I know. And as you know, I'm paying for that phone number. So
So should I call and leave you a message just so you feel better about you?
I think we're going to merge that phone number with the other project and just make it all around a Rockland USA number.
Yeah.
That way, at least I'm using it. Ding. And we can filter out the voicemails afterwards. But
well, you do you. I'm not doing any of that work.
Everybody out there, Amanda just says, well, you just keep doing you. Like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Craig's in charge of our media, all of the things that we do online. Yeah.
There's a lot going on.
I just show up and talk.
I think, yeah, your head's spinning with everything I'm trying to do at one time, but I really literally have nothing else to do. What am I supposed to be doing?
He asked me, hey, should we do this? I'm like, go for it.
Sure. As long as I don't have to do it. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Knock yourself out.
Yeah. We do have a lot of new listeners coming in from another project I'm doing. So a lot of them are really interested. So it's kind of neat getting a fresh batch.
Well, welcome. Maybe they'll call us.
Yes. And they're from other countries too, which is really cool. I have a very international group that I'm working with in another project. So it's a very large group, which is bizarre. Anyway. Let's get to some questions. So today, Amanda, people seem to like this. We're just going to do six of your questions out there, everybody. And
Not mine, but
not ours. No, but they typically will. Oh, they're definitely fan questions. And typically they will touch on all the things that we like to talk about. So let's get into question number one. Stacy says she has a $15,000 on a credit card with 19% interest. My goal is to have it paid off in 9 months. That's a very good goal, by the way. 9 months, mm-hmm. $15,000. I got an offer for a $5,000 balance transfer from a different card at 0% interest. What would you do? This is a very common situation, by the way.
Yeah.
So what is your thoughts on this?
Well, I don't like the shell game. I don't like people transferring one debt to another area to pay the same debt.
Right.
But 19% it was like painful. When you read that, I felt, oh, ouch.
Yeah, because basically it's hard to pay that off while the balance is up there that high. That's a lot of interest.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really compounded daily. It's it's tough.
So a couple of things to look into. When you get an offer for a balance transfer, read the fine print, because a lot of times they charge you a percentage to transfer that over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But so if they aren't, then I think in this particular case, under these circumstances, so here are all those qualifiers, because I don't want everyone doing this.
Yeah.
But in this particular case, with this information, I would go for it. I think transferring zero to a 0% balance is a great idea, because that 19% really is painful. And then you have to continue your plan to get it paid off in 9 months. Again, read the fine print. If there's any costs associated with the transfer, then I would just say skip it. And also make sure you carefully read how long that 0% interest rate is good for, because once you take longer than that amount of time, they're going to jack that up. to probably more than 19%. A lot of times it's like 27%.
And I don't want them to use this as an excuse to delay paying it off, like right, you were exactly. saying. Because some people will do that. They're like, well, now I bought myself some time. I'll just wait till after the holidays now. And it then, like you said, at the end, now you've had a higher interest rate, and now it's even more difficult to pay it off.
Yeah. And in this case, I might make an exception to the snowballing rule. Mm. I would probably, if it were me under this circumstance, I would pay the minimum on the 0%, $5,000, and pay the $10,000 on the 19%. I would throw all my money against that.
I didn't even think about that. That's a good catch right there. Yeah, because it's only 5,000 of the 10 of the 15.
Yeah. This would be under this circumstance, I would make an exception to the snowballing and throw all of the extra money against the 10,000 that's making interest, that high interest.
Yep.
Pay the minimum on the 5,000, pay off that 10,000 as fast as possible, so much sooner than the 9 months, and then switch to paying all your extra money against the 5,000.
Yeah. Perfect. I love that. All right, question number two.
So again, we're making an exception for Stacy. This is not the rule of thumb for everyone.
And every situation has little specific items to it. So,
yeah, no, I love this question because it gives us a chance to really double click on some of the rules. And because when we share guidance, that's what it is. It's guidance. And it's very generic and doesn't always apply to everyone's specific circumstance.
Mm-hmm. And then once all that's paid off, we need to stop using the cards.
Oh, I would stop using them immediately. Yeah. Don't wait.
I mean, if you
set them up 50, now.
And I'm not questioning this person and their use of cards, but if they racked up $15,000, you may not be ready to be a person who will use a card to get points and all this crazy stuff and be able to pay it off all the time because you were able to rack that up. I'm just saying that your mindset probably is in the camp of keeping your cards paid off. I would just get rid of those things.
Yeah. I cut it up immediately. Yeah, and when they send you this new card that you transfer to, cut that one up immediately.
And if you are going to continue using your card, I'm not advocating it, but you need to have a coach that'll stay on top of you, make sure that you are keeping those things paid off. And if you're married, you need to make sure the spouse is in the same camp as you.
You need to make sure you don't give a card to your spouse.
Yes. It might be how they got in this trouble in the first place. So,
yeah.
Question number two from David. What's your average monthly budget for eating out? Ours is $300 for a family of four. We're working on getting that down.
Hmm. Interesting. So
I'm not in the family of four any longer camp. But we really didn't eat out a lot.
Yeah. No, so here's where I land on this. I think it depends, right? Like, do you have debt that you're paying off? Maybe this is a bit high. What's your income level? Again, it should be a percentage. Mm-hmm. So you really have to take the totality of the circumstances to determine if this is something that you can really afford. Family of four, what is that?
You could easily eat three or four times.
Yeah, I was just thinking easy. It's not that often. It's maybe once a week, right?
Right. I mean, if you do like a fast food or Domino's and then maybe do two sit downs, that's easy. Yeah. $300. Easy.
Yeah. Well, I love Domino's because you can get like a pizza and soda and breadsticks and, you know, cinnamon twists all for $20. So
yeah, if you catch their coupons and stuff, like right now they got what, taco pizzas and they got specials on that stuff. And yeah, so
there are ways to reduce that and still have your eating out, you know, special night of the week. Mm-hmm. 'Cause that's what it sounds like. It sounds like they probably eat out once a week.
Yeah.
I mean, but yeah, continue working to get that down and look at the Savvy Savings segment we did on eating out. Do you remember that, Craig?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I could Google it at rockonthemoney.com and find it. Well, there's a search bar up there, and I can't remember which one that was. Actually, we just did a repeat of it recently, didn't we?
Oh, did we?
I think so. It was like Savvy Savings 20-something.
Hmm.
Have to Google that later. But if you go to rockonthemoney.com, go to the search bar, type in eating, it'll come right up.
Here it is. Savvy Savings Segment 18.
18. I was close. All right.
Gives you 14 ways to save money dining out.
There you go. And you talk about how to split the check. And I remember all that.
Yeah.
There you go. Question number three. We are looking to purchase our next vehicle in the next year. Of course, we'll be paying cash. Good job. What tips do you have for finding and getting the best deal?
This is great. In fact, I'm going to write this down as one of our upcoming Savvy Savings segments. That would be good. I don't think we've talked about this in detail before.
Now, we do have the rule that, well, it's not a rule, it's guidance that you should not buy new. You should try it for, 2 to 3 year old vehicle? Because typically every vehicle will lose 40% on average of its value, the cost, in the first 2 years. So we don't want to be that person. The vehicles nowadays are so reliable out there that you can get a 2 year old vehicle. It's like buying brand new if you get certified, a genuinely certified car, like a Toyota or something like that. So my first thing that I do, Amanda, personally, I am, you know, my favorite.
Oh, let me guess. Consumer Reports.
Consumer Reports. You know, that thing's been around for ages, guys. It's still the unbiased place to get your information. It's no advertising, all that. They buy the cars that they test, all that. So they always run a thing on the best used cars out there. And I get the online subscription. I don't get the magazine. And so if you go online and subscribe to their website, all that information is updated all the time, and at least it narrows down to top 10 vehicles, and a lot of them end up being Toyotas for some reason. But at least it is like, oh, I do like a Corolla, or you like, you know, just, and then you can go shopping from that point on. And they do actually use a buying service through Consumer Reports if you want to go that way. I'm not saying that's the way to do it. It's just, or go through Costco or something like that, but at least you get down, which make and model do I want to go with? So that's where I would start based on your budget. And then from that point on, it goes a whole bunch of different directions.
So here's something interesting. I also found that on our very first episode of Rock on the Money, episode 1.
Wow.
It's probably terrible. So I'm not sure I recommend anyone going to listen to that. But episode 1, segment 3 is about how much new or used vehicle can you afford?
Yes. The total amount of your vehicles that you own should not be more than half of your annual income. That's not permission to get that amount, but should never exceed that amount. That's where you get in trouble.
Right. So again, I would look at something that's about 2 to 3 years old and certified used from whoever Consumer Reports tells you to go with. And I do additional research. I will use tools like CarMax and other research tools to find what is a fair market price for the vehicle I'm looking at, and see what other dealerships in the area are offering similar vehicles at similar prices, and find the best one so that you can negotiate, because yes, that still exists. You can negotiate the best price for the vehicle.
Yep.
And again, I like the certified use because it comes with an extended warranty and sometimes a maintenance plan, depending on who you go with. I think Toyota does the extended maintenance plans. Mm-hmm. My car just ran out of the extended maintenance or the maintenance plan, and I had to take mine in for service this last week. It was a bit of sticker shock. But I had to remind myself, I haven't paid for car maintenance in years.
Yeah.
I can't remember the last time I've been to a car shop. Maintenance, like, you know, the one that you have to get every 30,000 miles. I'm just under 60,000 miles on mine, and I've had it for years, and it was sticker shock, but
yeah.
But you gotta do it so that your car lasts a longer time and keeps running smoothly, and you don't have to replace your car very often.
Episode 45, how to shop for a used car. Episode 46, we went over the top 10 most reliable used cars.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Yep. And a lot of them are Toyotas. I think number one was a Lexus. But yeah. Just because it says Lexus doesn't mean you can't buy one for $25,000.
So. Right. And also, Lexus is just a premium brand for Toyota. Right. So you can usually find a comparable model of the Toyota that is essentially the Lexus, but without all the fancy detailing on the inside.
So, yeah. So there you go. So we have lots of resources, but and the top 10, by the way, is based on the Consumer Reports article that came out. So, and we talked about the 2017 models, which are 3 years old now. So, which is a great year to buy. A 2017 model, 2018 is a perfect model to buy right now.
Yes.
2 to 3 years old. There you go.
You may also look at all of these rental car places that are offloading.
Hertz has great deals right now.
Yep.
They're the ones trying to stay out of bankruptcy. Take advantage of that as well. But compare the price they're offering from the Hertz online price, because they have an online store to buy a used Hertz car. Compare it with like CarMax or something like that.
Yeah, still do your homework.
Yeah, you got to got Google right there.
And I'm Google not it. Sure that you get the certified used from Hertz. I think you only get that from dealerships.
Right. Especially CarMax was a 30-day money back, something like that. I don't know, something like that. But yeah, anyway. How about we take a quick break and we'll come back with three more great questions. You're listening to Rockin' the Money.
Hey there, rock stars. Amanda here with ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Are you about to sell your home or excited to buy your first or next home? I'll be honored to help you find an expert to work with you in your local area. At ChoiceRealtyConnect.com, I'll help match you with up to 3 qualified licensed agents that specialize in your specific market. Choice Realty Connect serves every zip code in all 50 states with a network of 15,000 top-rated agents that are ranked within the top 5% for sales. Whether you're selling or looking for a condo, new construction, retreat, vacation property, or you're a first-time home buyer, let me connect you with the perfect top agent today. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. The choice is yours.
Amanda Braun is a Florida licensed real estate with a brokerage, Realty Connect. Money with Amanda and her sidekick, Craig. Don't forget to check out the website, rockonthemoney.com. Just like the last question, Amanda, we have over 80 episodes on there of just this podcast. And then we have all the savings podcast and some other specials that we post on there. There's literally over almost 200 podcasts on there.
Whoa.
All you have to do is go in there and do the search bar at the top on any topic. And the stuff is starting to show up on pretty much everything at this point. So,
we have social media question number 4 from Jerry.
Oh, what? You want to read this one?
Sure. So Jerry says, currently struggling a bit. My fiance and I have about $350,000 worth of debt combined with student loans and vehicle loans. We have decent jobs that we just started, so $110,000 and $120,000 combined annual income that provide good health insurance. We also pay $1,780 a month for rent at the moment.
Not bad.
Our car payments are about $550 combined too. So that's not too bad for two cars. We want to buy a house next year, but we are afraid that we won't be able to afford it because the housing market where we live is expensive, approximately $350,000 for a 3-bedroom house. She's a doctor of audiology and I'm a lawyer. Do we just ride it out and be patient? She's pretty stressed and I'm trying to come up with ideas. Cutting out car payments is not an option at the moment. Thanks.
All right.
So here's the first thing I'm going to say.
Go ahead.
You should not be combining your funds before you're married.
Oh, yeah, they are. She did say, Fiance.
He said gotcha. Fiance. Yes. Yep. So that is a big, big no-no.
Yep.
Yep. I mean, you're playing house at the moment. That's what Judge Judy would say.
Yes.
You're playing house.
She does say that, by the way. Yeah.
All the time. Oh, because, man, the courts don't, there's no court for people who are just playing house.
Yeah. Living together. Yep. Mm-hmm. Your housemates. Yep.
So you don't have a combined annual income. You have your individual incomes, and you have your individual car loans, and you have your individual student loans, all until you get married. And then you can start using the word our.
Yeah. Put a ring on it.
Yeah. And definitely, definitely do not buy a house together until you are married.
Absolutely.
That's just a financial nightmare if anything goes south.
Okay. You come from that lawyer education thing, but I've heard this is a common mistake.
Yeah, well, one of these folks is a lawyer. Jerry's a lawyer. He should know better.
Oh, she's a doctor of audiology, and he's a lawyer.
Yes. So, yeah, you need to ride it out and be patient, one, until you're married. Two, I don't understand why. Well, so pay off the cars. If you say that cutting out car payments is not an option, then you need to pay them off quickly. Because cutting it out is not an option means that they're not willing to sell these cars.
Right. And if we look at there could be more information here, more debt. We don't know. Based on what they've told us, the car debt should be the smallest amount of debt compared to the student loans.
Right.
So we're talking about, it should be in the world of audiology doctors and lawyers. I'm sure the cars are the smallest amount. So they need to do baby step two correctly. Do the baby steps. We shouldn't be buying houses yet. Pay off the cars, like you said. Then we go and tack the student debt. We knock out all that. And then we go into baby step three, which is building up our emergency fund. And then baby step 3B, which we don't speak enough about, is saving up for your down payment, which is what, 20%, right?
Usually, well, 15 to 20%, 20% to avoid the PMI. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
I mean, there are programs that allow you to make a lower down payment. Oh, okay. A lot of times it's for lower income. You have $350,000 in debt. That's insanity.
You can't go into another $350,000 house with already $350,000 in debt.
Right. It's basically triple what your combined annual income is.
That's insane.
So it's going to take you a bit. And in the careers that you're in, generally don't allow for overtime. These are like salary careers. Depending on how you're set up, you might be eligible for bonuses, or if your lawyer have opened up your own shop, then maybe you have a little bit of unpredictable income. But if you want to get a bigger shovel, you're going to have to find side hustles.
Can I ask you, and I'm not asking about your income. This is just a stereotype about lawyers that everybody sees on TV. Everybody has perfect Italian suits and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a stereotype that all lawyers make a lot of money?
Yes, absolutely. And it sounds like this person didn't think that through when they took on all these student loans. So I'll tell you, like, public defenders are making about what school teachers make when they come out of law school. It sounds like this person's right out of law school as well.
Mm. So which lawyers typically make all the money? Is that the ambulance? I hate to use terms that you probably don't like, but ambulance chasers and injuries or what is that? I mean, I'm trying to educate the people listening, like, because everyone thinks every lawyer makes money. I heard. Yeah,
everyone's like, I'm going to go to law school and become rich. So,
same with doctors, too. Not all doctors make a lot of money either, but that's what they think.
So generally, it's a balance of quality of life, right? So if you're in the top 1%, 2% of your graduating class from law school, then you may be eligible to be hired by some of the biggest law firms in the country, and they'd be willing to pay you a pretty penny, but they also have billable hour requirements that are going to require that you basically live at the law office Monday through Saturday, working 14, 15 hours a day.
Wow.
So you won't have any time to spend that money. But, you know, that's when you start making the big money straight out of law school anyway. Otherwise, the other way you make a lot of money as an attorney is many years down the road when you become partner. I had one lawyer, and I don't know how politically correct this is, but one lawyer explained to me that working at these big law firms is, you know, basically like having to work the cotton gin. It's really, you're putting in a ton of hours with no breaks. You have to log every 6 minutes of your time to bill against clients, and you have no quality of life and really high stress, but that's how you make the money. I said no thank you to that.
Yeah.
I'm too old for it. I mean, it's fine if you're like early 20s straight out of law school, but if it's your second career and you've already had a business experience and you're older and tired, then that wouldn't be my choice.
I think that's a good choice. You wouldn't be traveling the way you want to.
The same way. You know, you come straight out of medical school and you have to be an intern and then a resident. And those are super long hours as well.
Oh, yeah.
So the hourly rate you're getting is actually super low if you do the math.
Because the amount of hours you're putting in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But like public defenders put in really long hours and they make a salary, and straight out of law school, it's probably in the low 30,000s.
Oh, yeah. Heck with that.
Yeah.
How do you pay off your loans that way?
It's all, well, so some of the federal programs have income-based repayment plans.
Oh, okay. If you put
and
in so
a lot of these
years.
Public defenders are counting on the having that 10-year requirement where you can have your student debt.
Oh, and we know the record on that has not been great.
Yeah.
Okay. Question number 5. Hi, guys. I would like some advice. Do you know anyone who has pursued being a Mary Kay consultant as their side hustle? I've been looking into it and would like some personal testimonies if anyone has one.
Sure. Actually, I did this when I was in college.
And by the way, that's why I added this, because I recall you mentioning you used to do Mary Kay. So that's why I included this one.
Yes. I was not successful with it.
So what insider information? Because this is the one I think I'm more familiar with, other than what Loganberger baskets and all these other ones. And but Mary Kay has been around a long time.
Yes. So, no, and I love their products, and I that's why I got into it, because someone convinced me, well, you can make some money, plus you get consultant pricing on your own personal use. And so some consultants just get into it for the personal use discount, but there are minimum order requirements each month or each quarter. And so if you haven't sold that amount in that amount of time, then you have to place an order and it comes out of your own pocket, basically. The other thing I didn't like about it is that you basically had to carry a whole bunch of inventory, because people, when they buy their makeup, they want it right away. Now, I think some of that may have changed now, because so I quit many, many years ago, many moons.
Oh, okay.
I do have a consultant now, and when I place an order, a lot of the order comes directly from Mary Kay, because you place it online. I think that they just ship it out from a centralized warehouse now. But when I was doing it, you had to carry your own inventory.
Ah.
Because when people go to like these in-home parties, they want to walk home with their purchase.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, they don't want to place an order and then wait a week. But people are becoming more and more accustomed to having things shipped to them, so it's more acceptable now.
So is this where I see people post on Facebook they're getting ready to place an order? Does anybody want to add? Is that what they're trying to do?
Yes.
Ah, to get their minimum.
Yeah, they have to place a minimum order.
I see women
that's very
post
common
that all
with
time.
Most. Yeah, that's really common with most of these MLMs.
Okay, I see a lot of that on Facebook. Okay.
And then they always have these like quarterly incentives. So if you place orders that meet a certain threshold, you get some kind of prize.
Okay.
I got sucked into that at one point. I wanted to earn this sapphire ring, which I still have, but I basically paid for it myself.
By buying product, right?
By buying product and then trying to resell it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, I left that in there. So
that's not to say other people aren't successful with it, because obviously some people are driving pink cars. So
The pink. Yeah.
I think this is one of those know thyself, right? Like if you're the type of person who loves to hustle and sell, then you might have some success with it. But if you're that is basically treating it like a full-time job, not a side hustle.
And I may be wrong about this because I'm not familiar with makeup. However, there's a lot of people that do Instagram. They do live videos about makeup tutorials and all that. If I were to do Mary Kay, just from a social media person that I am, I would be doing live videos. I'd be doing posting. You have to do all this. So if you're not good at social media, I wouldn't start doing Mary Kay until you go on YouTube and learn how to do social media and watch how the teenagers are really good about makeup videos. They are killing it with this. This makeup. Am I right with that?
Yeah. So there's plenty of avenues to be successful. Right. But again, you have to know and understand that it's going to be a big time commitment. That's true of any MLM, not just Mary Kay. I will say that I was involved in a different MLM at one point, and it was my full-time job, and I was very successful there.
But you put the work in.
Yes, because it was my only source of income. There you go. So that's very motivating. If it's your only source of income, you will definitely work it.
So you mean sitting around watching Netflix all day is not going to make you Mary Kay money?
No, you have to be really self-motivated and have a plan of what you're going to do each day to advance your business.
I get very passionate about that side hustle thing. If people really want to be successful, it just doesn't happen. You got to work.
I think you have to be passionate about the item or the company you're with, right?
I'm with you.
If you love Mary Kay makeup and you're super excited about it, people will feel that excitement from you and be more inclined to jump on board. If you're just like, hey, you want some makeup? Probably not.
That's interesting what you said, because the people that watch me on my live streams on Facebook, they can tell I'm passionate about what I'm doing. I do enjoy the entertainment part of it, and they see it. Now, I've seen other people live stream.
They know. Are attracted to enthusiasm as long as it's genuine.
And people make those comments in the live chat as I'm doing all that, and they love it. Mm-hmm. So I think that goes with everything. If you're not passionate about Mary Kay, no one's going to buy it. No, people know. People are stupid. Yep. Anyway.
All right. Last question of the day.
Do you want to read this one?
Sure. From Caro. Hello, guys. I live in California and I'm thinking of getting my real estate license as a side hustle. Ooh, lots of side hustle questions.
Yes.
I believe the license and test is not very expensive. However, I'm not sure about yearly fees for MLS, state, etc. What do you guys think? What do you guys think is real estate a good side gig?
We've had this before, and I'm seeing a lot of people on Facebook wanting to be a real estate agent or...
Yeah, because they watch these shows on HGTV or Bravo Network about these realtors who make these huge commissions off of like one sale.
Yep.
What they're not seeing behind the scenes are all of the failed sales that they're putting tons and tons of hours and money into for open houses and other things that aren't getting them commissions.
Yeah, exactly. And you've brought this up before.
I have, because I challenge his statement that the license and test is not very expensive. I guess it's relative, right? I think in most states, you're going to have to account for probably close to $2,000 on that investment. And then, yes, MLS fees, state licensing fees, you know, ongoing CLE fees for the additional credits, like you have to do another 45 to 60 hours after you get licensed of learnings.
Do you have to partner yourself with the existing company? Like work underneath somebody like Long and Foster or something like that.
You have to attach to a brokerage, and depending on what brokerage you're with, they're going to have additional fees, maybe office fees to help them pay their overhead. So you have a whole bunch of monthly expenses with no income coming in for quite some time. Most real estate agents do not make a sale until after the first 6 to 12 months.
A year?
Yeah. You could be a year without getting any income, and you're putting out all of this additional monthly expenses. Plus you have marketing expenses. You know, you order business cards, you're doing flyers, you're doing online marketing, paying for Facebook ads. All this extra money is going out without things coming in. So if you're set up to do that, good for you. It's an investment up front. It's not just this quick get rich quick scheme.
Why there are so many people on Facebook wanting to do this is because they don't know.
They don't know, and they think it's going to be easy money.
Wow. Well, good thing I have you, because I'm not going to any of these people that are newbies. I'm going to you.
Yeah.
I'm going to Choice Realty Connect, and use my person to find me a good real estate agent, because I want one of the top people.
Yes.
I don't want one of these part-timers or a family friend. I don't even want to deal with that.
Right.
I would, because you find, what do you do? So we call you, and then you find the top, what, 10%, 5%?
Yeah. And it's not necessarily me finding it. It's my brokerage that has the connections in every single zip code in the United States.
But then I end up with one of the people that's already been in the game, and they are the top producers, right? They're the ones that know that will, because I'm seriously going to use you. I really want to retire at a lake.
I'm not sure I like you saying that you're going to use me. Sorry, I'm feeling very used.
Oh my God. We're good. Oh man, you're my best friend. There's no way. You know what I mean? I really want to use your brokerage. You go through you, because I'm always nervous about finding the right person.
Let me tell you a story. So, seriously. You know, I do my own investing all over, and we had been using a real estate agent in Georgia. I can share that in Georgia for the last couple of transactions that we had just found. You know, when you go on Zillow and it's like connect with an agent, and we picked them, supposedly they're a top rated one. And I just hadn't been feeling like they were really strongly advocating for us. They kept saying, no, you need to offer more, or you know, no, you can't even ask for this type of thing. And I just didn't feel like they were advocates for us. Mm-hmm. So I used my own referral service on this last one that we're under contract for. And it's like night and day. She is amazing. I'm having a great experience, very responsive. You know, we message and she gets back right away. She has great advice. You know, and when we thought there was a bidding war, and when we thought, well, should we offer this? She's like, I don't think you need to offer that much. Let's just go in with this. And she was right. We ended up winning, and otherwise we would have paid more. Mm. So, I really think it makes a huge difference to get a top rated one who has proven success, rather than, you know, even off of the Zillow, when we used someone that was, you know, high stars on Zillow, it was completely different. And it was not as positive of an experience as what we're experiencing now.
Yeah.
It makes a difference.
I've always bought new construction because that way I can avoid all that. But it's also not the best way to buy a house either. You're paying premium when you buy new construction.
Oh, and we do referrals for those looking for new construction as well.
Oh, perfect. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So if you're interested in new construction, we can still help you. Don't think you don't need an agent there, because you can still negotiate. And an agent has the experience and knows exactly what is or isn't market rate if you get a good experienced agent. If you have someone who's just learning, or they're just kind of doing it as a side hustle like this, they may not be able to give you that insight. Hmm.
I keep looking at lake houses that are listed out there, and none of the layouts, they're like older. I'd rather have a lot and start over, you know, and then find me, you know, and do it that way. But whatever. Yeah. But you do that too. So.
Yes. So go ahead. Use me.
On that note, I don't want your husband kicking my butt. Okay. I don't need no military guy punching me in the head. Yeah, that's all funny. All right. That's it for this one. Those were great questions, by the way, guys. Seriously. Great questions. Keep them coming in. podcast@rocklandusa.com, or send the messenger, or post on the Facebook group at Rock on the Money on Facebook. And these are great. This is really good. So thank you, Amanda. This is really good. Thank you.
Yep.
You can find Amanda on Instagram and Twitter at Agile Amanda. And you can find me on all of your favorite social media platforms at Rockland USA. Don't forget, check out the website and subscribe to the podcast. All the links are right there on the front page, rockonthemoney.com. Please subscribe and leave comments to our podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, or even your favorite app that you got right there on your phone. Those help us out a lot. If you're ever looking for a specific topic or content that we've produced over time, just go to the website and in the search bar, just type in your topic, be it 401k, stimulus check, or anything, and everything comes right up for you. We have so much gratitude that you've taken the time out of your day to listen to our podcast while you're walking, driving, traveling, or whatever you're doing. Please send us an email. Let us know how you're doing out there. Podcast at rocklandusa.com. So long, everybody. Thank you very much again. We'll see you again next time. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.